I joined Microsoft in 1992 because I wanted to work for a company filled with people who believed they were on a mission to change the world. That was 25 years ago, and I've never regretted it. Microsoft authored the PC revolution, and our success, rivaled perhaps only by IBM in a previous generation, is legendary. But after years of outdistancing all of our competitors, something was changing, and not for the better. Innovation was being replaced by bureaucracy. Teamwork was being replaced by internal politics. We were falling behind. In the midst of these troubled times, a cartoonist drew the Microsoft organization chart as warring gangs, each pointing a gun at another. The humorous message was impossible to ignore. As a 24-year veteran of Microsoft, a consummate insider, the caricature really bothered me. But what upset me more was that our own people just accepted it. Sure, I had experienced some of that disharmony in my various roles, but I never saw it as insolvable. So when I was named Microsoft's third CEO in February 2014, I told employees that renewing our company's culture would be my highest priority. I told them I was committed to ruthlessly removing barriers to innovation so we could get back to what we all joined the company to do. To make a difference in the world. Microsoft has always been at its best when it connects personal passion to a broader purpose. Windows, Office, Xbox, Surface, our servers, and the Microsoft Cloud. All of these products have become digital platforms upon which individuals and organizations can build their own dreams. These were lofty achievements, and I knew that we were capable of still more. And that employees were hungry to do more. Those were the instincts and the values I wanted Microsoft's culture to embrace. Not long into my tenure as CEO, I decided to experiment with one of the most important meetings I lead. Each week, my senior leadership team, SLT, meets to review, brainstorm, and wrestle with big opportunities and difficult decisions. The SLT is made up of some very talented people. Engineers, researchers, managers, and marketers. It's a diverse group of men and women from a variety of backgrounds who have come to Microsoft because they love technology and they believe their work can make a difference. At the time, it included people like Peggy Johnson, a former engineer in GE's military electronics division and Qualcomm executive who now heads business development, Kathleen Hogan, a former Oracle applications developer who now leads human resources and is my partner in transforming our culture. Kurt Delbean, a veteran Microsoft leader who left the company to help fix healthcare.gov during the Obama administration and returned to lead strategy. Chi Lu, who spent 10 years at Yahoo and ran our applications and services business. He held 20 US patents. Our CFO, Amy Hood, was an investment banker at Goldman Sachs. Brad Smith, president of the company and chief legal officer, was a partner at Covington & Burling, remembered to this day as the first attorney in the nearly century-old firm to insist as a condition of his employment in 1986 that he have a PC on his desk. Scott Guthrie, who took over from me as leader of our cloud and enterprise business, joined Microsoft right out of Duke University. Coincidentally, Terry Myerson, our Windows and Devices chief, also graduated from Duke before he founded Intersay, one of the first web software companies. Chris Capicella, our chief marketing officer, who grew up in a family-run Italian restaurant in the north end of Boston and joined Microsoft right out of Harvard College the year before I joined. Kevin Turner, a former Walmart executive, who was chief operating officer and led worldwide sales. Harry Shum, who leads Microsoft's celebrated artificial intelligence and research group operation, received his PhD in robotics from Carnegie Mellon and is one of the world's authorities on computer vision and graphics.